This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and when I start my workday, it always begins with that morning shower. Normally, I use a liquid body wash, but recently I purchased a bar of Sterling Soap Company's handcrafted bath soap and decided to give their Deep Blue Sea handcrafted bath soap a try. Immediately, the aroma of Sterling's bath soap was obvious, and in using this soap, I felt refreshed, clean, energized, and Sterling's bath soap helped me step out of that shower with the momentum and eagerness to get my day rolling. If you want to get a refreshing wake-up call in the morning and get your busy day off to the right start, I highly recommend going to Sterling Soap Company's website and order one of their many varieties of bath soaps among other products they offer. Visit Sterling Soap Company at sterlingsoap.com. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com.
This is Craig Colquitt, former punter for the University of Tennessee Volunteers and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you are listening to Total Sports Recall Podcast, a part of Sports History Network. Now, here is your host, Harv Aronson.
Welcome to the Total Sports Recall Podcast. I am your host, Harv Aronson, and on this episode, I will be discussing former athletes that either played two positions in their respective sport or played in two different sports. There may be some men or women fitting into this subject that I may not mention, but I will provide you with some of the more popular cases. When thinking about this subject matter, the first athlete that comes to mind for me is Bo Jackson. Famous for the 1980s Nike commercial Bo Knows, that campaign had Bo Jackson assuming a role in multiple sports.
Well, don't surf. That's what you think, dude.
What is he doing here?
I thought this was another Bo Knows commercial.
The truth about Bo Jackson is that he excelled in two sports, baseball and his first love, football. Many will remember the Monday Night Football game when Bo Jackson was running the ball for the Los Angeles Raiders and ran over Brian Bosworth on his way to a touchdown run.
And if you're in Seattle, you can't wait till he leaves. Third and one from the two. Here's Bo. And here goes Bo for the touchdown. He and Bosworth one-on-one, and Jackson just shoves him into the end zone.
I suggest a handicap of 18. How about 20 pounds?
That's the matchup you like to see. If you're Seattle, Bo Jackson with the ball, Brian Bosworth. Here's Bo Jackson. He's going to go here. Here's Brian Bosworth. They're going to meet on the two-yard line and end up in the end zone. Watch the Bos. He plays it perfectly, flows to the football, meets Bo Jackson at the two. Sorry, 220 beats 240 easily.
Bosworth had been a highly touted linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks from the University of Oklahoma, but didn't stand a chance of tackling Bo Jackson. Because of a severe hip injury, Jackson played in just four seasons with the Raiders, but did carry the ball 515 times for 2,782 yards, scoring 16 times. His per-carry average was an impressive 5.4 yards, and in three of those four seasons, had the longest run from scrimmage in the league for those years, 1987, 1989, and 1990, as he plowed through an opposing defense for runs of 91, 92, and 88 yards, respectively. Bo Jackson also caught 40 passes in those 4 years for 352 yards and two scores. It is a shame Jackson only played 4 years, because in that short span, his career yards per carry average bettered that of all-time rushing yardage leader Emmitt Smith, 5.4 yards to 4.2. Even his 8.8 yards per receptions was better than Smith's by 2.5 yards. One of my favorite players of all time is the great Walter Payton, but he too had a lower per carry average than did Jackson, with Sir Walter finishing with a 4.4 mark. What makes Bo Jackson one of the greatest athletes in history is because of his accomplishments in Major League Baseball. And what is more amazing is he played for the Kansas City Royals, all while suiting up for the Los Angeles Raiders in the fall for football. Jackson was drafted by the Raiders, but opted to play baseball first in 1986, then turned to the diamond and gridiron simultaneously in 1987. In his 1986 rookie year in Kansas City, the writing was on the wall that Bo Jackson was a special athlete.
You strike the ball. The pitch from Morris. Here's one that's hit a mile and a half. Oh, almost out of everything. Almost clear out of the ballpark. Home run I've ever seen here.
Me too. I've never seen one hit that far up the bank. And this is what all the people come for. They forget about the air very quickly. And now it's made them all complete that he hit a home run. That's what most of the people out here have come to see.
I don't hear any boos.
Bo Jackson hitting the long one. And had to supply most of the power himself.
Bo Jackson never hit for average in baseball, but if you take away his first year and the two home runs he hit and the 1991 season and when he played in just 23 games, in the other six seasons of Major League Baseball, Jackson averaged 22 home runs per season. He also averaged 65 RBIs in that span. In 1989, Bo Jackson rushed for 950 yards for the Raiders and earlier in the year, slugged 32 round trippers for the Royals while also knocking in 105 RBIs and scoring 86 times. When it comes to athletes playing two positions in the same sport, Babe Ruth would be one of the first to mention. Ruth began his pro career on the pitching mound, but already a feared hitter. Beginning in 1914, Babe Ruth was on the mound for the Boston Red Sox. In his second year in the major leagues, Ruth posted a record of 18-8. The next season, he won 23 games while losing just 12. He nearly mirrored that of the season before the next year by finishing 24-13. Following the 1917 season, Ruth's pitching began to decline as he became more of an everyday batter. While still pitching, Babe Ruth led the league in home runs with 11 in 1917 and then hit 29 in 1919. The rest of his career was historic as he won the home run title four straight times from 1918 through 1921 and in six straight years from 1926 through 1931. And Ruth was the leading home run hitter 12 times. The rest of his career became Hall of Fame worthy, and Ruth was, in fact, obviously voted into the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. Ruth would retire as the all-time home run king, a mark that stood until Henry Aaron eventually surpassed his total. What is more amazing about Babe Ruth's pitching stats are several things that are no longer accomplished in today's baseball world. That would be today's complete games and shutouts by one pitcher. With all the specialty relief pitching that goes on, you just don't see a pitcher finishing a game, let alone tossing a nine-inning shutout. In Ruth's first full year as a pitcher in 1915, he started 28 games and completed 16. A year later, he led the league with 40 starts and also finished first in shutouts with 9. In 1917, he was the major league leader in complete games with 35. That's an impossibility in the current era. Through a career 147 starts, Babe Ruth went all 9 innings 107 times, which equates to a 73% finish rate. He also shut out 17 opponents. His strikeout total as a pitcher was 488. While playing as a pitcher in 163 games, Babe Ruth surrendered just 10 home runs. Thus, this is why I place him among the greatest two-position players in history.
This is a recording of the last time Babe Ruth spoke in public at Yankee Stadium in front of Yankee fans.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You know how bad my voice sounds. Well, it feels just as bad. You know this baseball game of ours comes up from the youth. That means the boys. And after you were a boy and grew up to know how to play ball, then you come to the boys you see representing themselves today in your national pastime. The only real game, I think, in the world, baseball. As a rule, some people think if you give them a football or a baseball or something like that, naturally, they're athletes right away. But you can't do that in baseball. You gotta start from way down the bottom. When you're 6 or 7 years of age, you can't wait until you're 15 or 16. You gotta let it grow up with you. And if you're successful and you try hard enough, you're bound to come out on top, just like these boys have come to the top now. There's been so many lovely things said about me, and I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to thank everybody. Thank you. Give him away, sir.
In football, there have been some athletes that played more than one position. Chuck Bednarik, a former great NFL player, took the field on offense as a center, then stayed on the field as a defensive linebacker. His playing days were from 1949 through 1962, but he might best be remembered for his crushing hit on Frank Gifford in 1960. Bednarik was playing for the Philadelphia Eagles and hit Gifford with such force it rendered the Giants player unconscious and forced him to retire from football prematurely.
A one-way street, and a Mack truck is coming the opposite way.
Frank Gifford caught the ball underneath of Bednarik, and he was trying to get to the sideline to stop the clock. Well, he got stopped. I mean, he got hit. Bednarik hit him, and he just leveled Frank. I mean, Frank was level and knocked him cold, of course. And Frank missed a whole year of football the following season. That's how hard he got hit. I thought Bednarik killed him.
His head snapped. He went backwards, and the ball flew in the air. And there it was. Chuck Weber fell on it. I knew the game was over. I had no idea where Frank Gifford was. And then when I saw him recover the ball, and I turned around, and then simultaneously, I was with a gesture like this, standing over him, and I said these exact words, "This effing game is over."
Another NFL player who was on both sides of the ball was Deion Sanders. Perhaps the greatest cornerback ever, Sanders also played as a wide receiver who caught 36 passes in 1996 for 475 yards. Sammy Baugh was one of the greatest quarterbacks in history, but also was an accomplished punter. And in 1943, Baugh led the NFL in passing, punting average, and interceptions while he played a third position at cornerback. Don Hutson was one of the greatest receivers in history, but he was also a safety who in 1940 led the league in interceptions. He was also a two-time Most Valuable Player. Bullet Rogan was an amazing Negro League baseball pitcher and hitter from 1920 to 1938. He won 120 games from the mound and lost just 52 while ending his career with a .338 batting average. As for players like Bo Jackson playing two different sports, Deion Sanders was already mentioned, but he took a stab at Major League Baseball and spent 9 years in the majors with four different teams, those being Atlanta, Cincinnati, the New York Yankees, and the San Francisco Giants. Some people may not be aware that the great Jim Brown, while running over defenders in football for the Cleveland Browns, was also a professional lacrosse player. Danny Ainge had a career in baseball with the Toronto Blue Jays, but also played well in the NBA with the Boston Celtics. When we talk about some of the greatest athletes in history, Jim Thorpe is one name that needs to be mentioned. The American-born Indian, Thorpe was an Olympic gold medalist in the decathlon and pentathlon, but also starred in pro football and baseball.
Meet Jim Thorpe, one of the greatest athletes of all time. Born in 1888, Jim Thorpe dominated in football, track, baseball, and even the Olympics. In 1912, he won two Olympic gold medals, decathlon and pentathlon. But it wasn't just his skill, it was his unstoppable spirit. He played professional football, baseball, and was the first president of the NFL. But his Olympic titles were stripped after a controversy over amateur status. Despite the setback, Jim Thorpe's legacy has never been dimmed. He's still regarded as one of the greatest athletes to ever live. Today we honor him in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, where his spirit lives on forever.
On the female side of things, Babe Didrikson Harris should be considered one of, if not the greatest woman athlete in history. An Olympic gold medalist in track and field, Didrikson was also an All-American basketball player and a legendary golfer.
One of the most notable athletes of the 1930s was Babe Didrikson Zaharias. Who was Babe? What sports did she become famous for? Babe Didrikson's real name was Mildred, but almost everyone remembers her as Babe, a lifelong nickname. Her parents were Norwegian immigrants, and she had six brothers and sisters. When she was 4 years old, her family moved to Beaumont, Texas, where she would grow up. She wasn't a great student, and even dropped out for a brief period before finishing high school. Fortunately for Babe, she was an extremely talented athlete. When she was 21, she gained worldwide attention at the Amateur Athletic Union Championships in July of 1932. In less than 3 hours, she competed in 8 different events, winning 5 and tying for first in a 6th. She set 3 world records that day, including the javelin, 80-meter hurdles, the baseball throw, which she threw 272 feet, and the high jump. Later that month, she competed in the 1932 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles. She won 2 gold medals, the hurdles and the javelin throw, and a silver for the high jump. After the Olympics, she began a career in golf. Throughout the late 1930s and 1940s, Babe Didrikson was the dominant name in women's golf. She was unquestionably America's first female golf superstar. She accomplished many feats throughout her career, including being the first American to win the British Ladies Amateur. At one point, she won as many as 13 tournaments in a row. In 1938, she married a professional wrestler named George Zaharias, becoming Babe Didrikson Zaharias. The two met while at a charity golf event and wed less than a year later. The couple remained married for the rest of Babe's life. Aside from being a gifted track athlete and golfer, Babe Zaharias experienced success in other sports as well. She played baseball and softball, was a skilled diver, a talented basketball player, and could bowl, box, play ice hockey, and even roller skate. She also found time to be an excellent seamstress.
A boxer and football player took to the snow to be a dual sport competitor. His name was Eddie Egan, and he was the 1920 Olympic gold medalist in boxing, but also won gold in the bobsled in 1932. Herschel Walker was a fantastic running back in the NFL, and he was a member of the 1992 United States bobsled team. He would also have a few mixed martial arts fights. Charlie Ward had a stellar quarterbacking career at Florida State University in 1993, a season that saw him take home the coveted Heisman Trophy Award. Instead of going to the NFL, Ward had been drafted by the New York Knicks, and he took the NBA path and had a successful 11-year career. Little did I know that former Major League Baseball player Tom Candiotti is in the Bowling Hall of Fame. While he played mostly on a celebrity level, he did compete in some Professional Bowlers Association tournaments where he averaged a score of around 200 per game. If you've never seen the old Western television show The Rifleman, a star on that show was Chuck Connors, who also played in the NBA and Major League Baseball. In 1960, the Pittsburgh Pirates not only won the World Series, but their shortstop, Dick Grip, won the league MVP award. His baseball career began in 1952, and he hung up his cleats in 1967, finishing his career with the San Francisco Giants. But in 1952, Grote was also a member of the Fort Wayne Pistons in the NBA. There he averaged 11.9 points per game with a 2.7 assists average and a 3.3 rebounds per game mark. Finally, we have Bullet Bob Hayes. In the 1964 Olympic Games, Hayes was a star in Tokyo. He brought home the gold in the 100-meter dash and the 4x100 relay. The Dallas Cowboys were attracted to his speed and drafted him, which resulted in an 11-year career and induction into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So there you are, some incredibly famous athletes, men and women that were exceptionally talented. Times have changed dramatically, and it's highly unlikely you will ever see athletes like the ones mentioned in this podcast ever again. On my next podcast at the end of the month, I will take a unique look at what, in my opinion, are 10 of the top martial artists who are also actors who have appeared in successful movies. Until that time, this is Harv Aronson wishing everyone well.
The contents of this podcast do not represent the opinions of others and are solely the opinions of Harv Aronson based on his experience, knowledge, and research.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.